We pray that as you listen to one of our amazing team bring the Word of God, you are encouraged and challenged, and that your faith is stirred. To get in touch or for more information about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
Can you hear me, church? Amen. Father, we give you thanks. What a privilege to be in your presence. Amen. Like the word we get to. Kadabla doshetebra andiste. Libra dali ikas kotobla da inda steblesk. Ikakadono mozibra da. If you can pray in the spirit, pray in the spirit for 5 minutes, 5 seconds. Kataka dibla dono mozize credes telema zibra da. Ika karama dono mozibriente, kabande sebriede kabrada briata ta kabando si tahanda libriele babahanda sha. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we give you praise, Father. We give you praise, Jesus. Thank you, Father. It's not time to be tired, says the Lord. It's not time to be tired, says the Lord. It's not time to give up. No time for that. It's a trick of the enemy. Says the Lord. It's not time to give up. It's not time to throw in the towel. Yes, it's tough, says the Lord. But it's not time yet. You've been made and created for something bigger and greater. Amen. Don't allow what is happening to eat you up. You are bigger than that. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for that individual here now. The strength of God is his or her portion in Christ Jesus. Command you in the name of the Lord Jesus. You spirit of the enemy, you get out. Right now, in Jesus' name, you get out. Right now, in Jesus' name, devil, you get out. Yes. It's a command, devil. It's a command. You will hear and you will obey. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Go in peace. Live in peace. It's your portion in Christ Jesus. The devil is a liar. He knows that. He's commanded to go now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh, it's going to be good. Do you feel it? Do you sense it? Amen. Amen. So we've been dealing with together, together. Some feedback. Are we okay? Sam? Are we okay? I can hear. We're dealing with together, together. And today we want to pick it from the enemy using devices, you know, to affect the together, together that we are called to maintain by the Spirit. Okay, I said in the morning, I just want to say this. I said, the Lord said to me the past 2 days or 3 days ago that it's going to be tough. And I said again, that is, you don't need a prophet to tell you that it's going to be tough. It's already here. It's already here. But it's going to be tougher. But he said, it's those that are going to live in victory and see the reality of the victory that Jesus gave to us are those that are going to wholeheartedly stick to this book. Wow. And use the word. Yeah. I repeat again, wholeheartedly. That is to say, there is no plan B outside this book. Amen. If you have a plan B outside this book, you're going to be caught up in this darkness, thick darkness. But he said, it's those people that are going to hold this book, that irrespective of the pain that they are going through in their body, irrespective of their bank account, is irrespective of they've been fired from work or redundant or whatever, it is going to be this book that is going to save you, that is going to make you walk in this victory. And I say with passion, that is not going to be lackadaisical study of the scriptures. This is your life. Because what is coming or what has come, you can't handle it. It is this life in this book that can cause you to triumph in this. So church, let's hold on to this. Your job is not going to save you, and you must know it by now. The government is not. They are in darkness. They don't know what to do. Today is like this. Tomorrow is like that. They don't know it. Honestly, if they have to tell you, they will say, we don't know. Nobody knows it. But you see, when we stick our head in this book, strength will come, and we will know how to maneuver our ways in these tough times. They will say, a word to the wise is enough. But that is what the Lord is telling me to tell us. And I said that in Daniel chapter 3, verse 16, he talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You see, these people did not care about what was happening. They did not care about what the Nebuchadnezzar said. He said that, hey, king, we care less about what you are saying to us. We are sticking to what God has said, and our eyes is on him. And the king, the book of Nebuchadnezzar, got furious. He says that gather all the great guys in my regime or in this place. Gather them and let them fire this fiery furnace up 10 times. Let me deal with these guys. The guys, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we don't care about what you do. Do you know what? They came out of the fiery furnace unharmed. What we're going through or what we're going to go through might be more than that. But when we hold on to God,
amen,
we will sail through this, church. Yeah. We will. It's not time to play with church. I said, this is my life, and I've given my life to Christ. So I'm going all out to it. It's not all that easy, but it's worth it. It's not all that easy, but it's worth it. So when we hold on to what he has said, they will come back to us and say, how are you doing it? And we will show them the way. This is that. Oh, many years ago, about 10, many, many years ago, my colleagues thought I was a fool. They thought, why do you follow this Jesus? What is going to happen to come? Let's have fun. Let's enjoy. Let's go to the whatever, beer, but disco. Let's have fun. What are you? The truth is that 10, 20 years ago, they are calling me back and say, please help us. Help me. I'm in a mess. One day I went to Ghana. I'm from Ghana. I went to Ghana, and as I was walking the road, I saw my cousin. He was driving a very good car. I was walking, and he's known in the television, whatever. Every time he's on the television, he was making it. And then the Lord said to me, look at him. He's going to be reduced like the sun. Tell him that. If he neglected me, he's going to reduce like a sun. I said, this is what the Lord says. Be careful of your ways. The following year, I went to Ghana, and I was called to go pray for him because he has been struck down with stroke. He couldn't do anything. And the Lord said, I said it. He didn't obey. He was famous. He was on there. He was famous. But you see, famous won't save you. The word of God will. So I said, tell him I'll be coming to pray for him. I was busy ministering in other places, so I just went there the following week, and I said, this is what the Lord said. I told you that. And I held the hand. I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus, you spirit of stroke, get out now. He couldn't drive. That is the second time I've held a dead body. I've held my father. He was dead. That is the first time. That is the second time I held a dead body. This one side of him was completely dead. He was walking like that. I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus, you get out now. He couldn't drive. Now he's driving. Sorry. Get out! Get out! Make me remind me I was preaching somewhere. And it was a big one. I nearly fell because I can't stand still when I'm preaching. That's the thing. No, but what I'm saying is that the guy, he's healed now. And now he's back to Christ. See, it is the word of God that can help us. Now they'll be thinking, hey, are you guys stupid? Are you guys... You don't have this? Why do you say you want to serve God? You can't see. But they will return to us. It took many years, this guy returned. Dealing with his devices. Let's go. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. If you are joined with the Lord, you are one spirit with him. If you are born again, if you are a Christian, you are joined together with him. You are no longer yourself. You are joined together with him. It is not a feeling, it's a knowing. If you depend on feeling to feel that I am joined with the heart, so for you to accept that, hey, I am joined with the Lord, and that is a, you want to feel it, you don't get it. It's a knowing, accepting it and believing it, that I am one with God. When I am going with God because I cannot be detached out of him. The Greek word there, he says to glue together, to cement or fasten firmly together. So the believer in Christ is fasting firmly together with God's Spirit. I said, we've never seen our faces before, have you? Have you seen your face before? It's not a scary question, it's just... Have you seen your face before, Sue?
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a miracle. I don't believe in that. Nobody has seen his or face before. We've seen the reflection of our face. When you see in a mirror, that is not your face. That is a reflection of your face. But you believe that that is your face, is it?
Yeah.
Talk to me, church. When I see my face in the mirror, no matter what happens, I say, this is my face, Kobe. And then I dress my face, and I'm going out knowing that I've seen my face, and my face is okay. Because the mirror says so.
Yeah.
I don't need to feel it, because I've already seen it in the mirror.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't feel I'm nice. No, I've seen it. And therefore, I go with it. No matter what you would tell me, Leah, I don't, because I've seen my face, and it was good. See, the word of God, James says, the word of God is our mirror. So I've not seen my spirit before. I can sometimes feel my spirit. The real me is a spirit. I am joined with the Lord. What can make me see my spirit is the word of God as a mirror. So the same way you have no shadow of doubt when you see yourself in the mirror and you accept it and you don't feel it before you accept it. That is the same way, church, God wants you to accept his word when you see it. Because you're not going to feel the word of God. You're not going to. This Christian life is not about feelings. If you're going to wait for feelings, you'll wait forever. It's about knowing and believing. It's not about logic. I don't need my logic to say that, yes, that is me in the mirror. So you see, as the natural mirror is to you, let the word of God be the mirror to your life. So when the word of God says, I am joined together with the Lord because I'm born again, I don't argue with that. I accept it and live according to that. When you see yourself in the mirror, you don't argue what you are seeing. You accept it, true or false. You accept it because that is you think. So when I read the scriptures and the word of God says, I am more than a conqueror through Christ, I don't care about what I'm going through. I care about what he has said. That is reality. Sorry, I'm being passionate here. Thank you. See, the mirror, the natural mirror. There's no argument in that. Your spirit is the real you. No man after the flesh, but after the spirit. That is the real, that is the identity of the believer, the spirit. The recreated human spirit. That is the real you. That is the one that God sees and says, wow, see my image.
Wow.
Not this physical black face, even though it's very handsome. Black people will kill me. No, so I'm just joking. I love my color. My kids came to me and said, Daddy, what color are you? I said, what do you think? He said, you are black. I said, I'm not black. What is black? Then he said, oh, you are black. Moi is Danish mother. Mom is white. I said, no. Then we have a white son. I said, that is white. She's not white, is she? Oh, okay, she's not. But what color is she? I said, I don't know. Just by the way. Oh, I love God's creation. Isn't it not beautiful? Have you seen my kids? Very beautiful, right? That's the black and white together. Not only white, not only black, you know, but it's together. Just by the way. I was going to a shop in Denmark. It's like Tesco, you would call it. It's Netto in Denmark. And then I entered into the shop, and then a little girl, I think 7 years or so, she told the mom, Mom, see. He's full of chocolate. He's full of chocolate, Mom. And everybody was looking at me, you know. And for me, I went to her, I said, can you just taste it? It's sweet. Amen. But he that is joined with the Lord is one spirit. I don't feel it. I know it and I accept it. That is where the victory of the believer is. When I know that I'm joined with the Lord and he cannot fail, I don't accept failure when it comes. I know it's not my identity. Even though I might be in it. Even though my body will be plaguing with sicknesses, I don't accept it, but that is not me. I accept what he says. I am joined with the Lord. Ooh. I don't think I'm going to finish my message today, mate. Because there's a lot of stuff going on here. So we are joined with the Lord, and that is where the victory is.
Amen.
But you see, no matter how, and I like what he said, we are seated. Do you know you are seated? You are not going to be, he's not going to sit you. He's already seated you in high places.
Amen.
So if I know I'm already seated, my prayer life changes. The way I pray changes. The way I talk changes. I don't pray, oh God, help me. No, I'm already helped. That's why he brought me there. Now he wants me to extend help to people. As he has sent me, so send I you. John chapter 20, 21. Jesus was saying that. So we have to be conscious of it. But I said, no matter how we are seated together with him, the power we have, the anointed we have, or the anointed we are, you see, if we are not vigilant, if we are not watchful, the enemy can creep in and mess up. I said, no matter how big an elephant is, if a mosquito, you know mosquito, those who live.
Yeah.
If a mosquito enters into the ear of the elephant, he got the elephant. True or false? The elephant will be on rest. And by the time you know, the elephant is down. No matter how big the elephant is. See, they are devices of the enemy. That as a church, as an individual, when you are not watchful and vigilant, he creeps in. And get you. And said, if you are this, do this. He came to Jesus. If you say you are this, do it. If you say you are the Son of God, do this. But Jesus knew better. He knew he was already seated. He don't have to do anything to become anything.
Yeah, very good.
See, now church, we want to do something to become something. We want to do this, that'll become relevant. No, you are already, sorry, English. You are already relevant. You are already qualified. I don't need to do this to be qualified. No, he's qualified you.
Very good.
I don't need to pray long for God to accept me. No. That does not mean I don't pray long. I pray for fellowship. If I love my wife, I spend time with her.
Yeah,
that's the prayer life. That's my communication. That's my being with him.
Yeah.
So I pray long. I pray hours, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. I'm with the Father. But that does not mean it will qualify me for anything. No. I'm already qualified. That's why I can spend time with him. I can't pray long with him or we are with him if I'm not qualified. He's qualified me that I can sit on his lap and begin to talk with him hours and not grow tired. Speak in the spirit for hours. And when I come out of my room, I know who I am. I have contact with my Father. I speak bold. Some people may say, oh, this is pride. It's not. It's humility. Amen. Speaking to the people the way he wants you to speak. So let's just go on. What is here? He said, we are joined together. But then, see this scripture Paul is saying. He said, least Satan should get an advantage of you. He was dealing with unforgiveness and will be dealing with those devices next week. Least Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So Satan can only get an advantage of you when you are what? Ignorant of his devices. So Paul, all the scriptures, don't ignore the devices of the enemy, even though he is a defeated foe.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though he's as tiny as this, he can creep into the church and mess up the unity. So he says, be vigilant. Peter was saying this. Sober, be vigilant. So the adversary, the devil, he who is roaring like a lion. I like it when the scriptures say, like a lion. He's not a lion. We are coming out of the lion of the tribe of Judah. We roar. His roaring is a fake roar. We roar, and you know what we are doing. But he's like a roaring lion. Like, he's not. We are. So he said, be vigilant so that you are not ignorant of it, so the devil will not take advantage of you. The Greek word for advantage of us is pleho nektoho. Okay, I'm not Greek, I'm just trying. So that is it. And it means to have more, to have greater part of share, to be superior, to excel, to surpass, outwit, or have advantage over. That is the Greek word for advantage of. So when the devil takes advantage of you, then he's superior over you. Then he has already gotten you. No matter how powerful you are, if he's able to sneak in with his device and get you, you become low to him. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 to 25. Another parable, he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed a good seed in his field. A good seed in his field. Do you know what? You carry the good seed of the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The kingdom of God is like a man who sowed a good seed in his field. You are the good seed.
Yeah.
You are the good seed. You are the best of God. God has nothing best but you. Maybe you didn't hear that. Do you know why he have to kill himself to save you? Because the best part of him left him. So he have to come down by himself in a human form called Jesus to get you back to him. He couldn't afford to stay alone in heaven because the best part of him has departed. He made the clay, and he breathed into the clay. And the clay became a living soul. So what made the clay lively? That was God entering into the clay. Let me come again. This is the clay. What made the clay lively was God entering into the clay. So you see, me or you, you are God walking. Because God breathed. And the word there is pneuma, which is the spirit. When you take the spirit out of a person, he's gone.
Yeah, yeah.
But God entered into that clay.
Very good. Wow.
Get the picture there. So when man departed from God, he couldn't help himself because part of him is gone.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have the DNA of God. Because if he has not breathed into me, I was still what? Talk to me, church. If I had not received the breath of God in Genesis, I would still be what? Clay. So what is making you alive? God in you, that is his spirit in you. So what else do we need as a church? If we understand this, all our prayer will be thanksgiving and declaration. All. But see, he sown a good seed. And then he said, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tears among the good seeds. When we are not vigilant, when we are not conscious of who we are in Christ, the enemy comes with a device. The enemy comes in and sowed tears among the good seed. Even though you are so, I was counseling a lady, so beautiful in Denmark. Beautiful lady. She came to me, I am nothing, I'm not beautiful. I said, wow. See, the devil is speaking to her, not to accept who she is. I said, you are so beautiful. I'm not saying this to make you happy, but naturally you are. And she said, no, I am not. I'm not seeing me, I'm not. I said, if the devil can get you to low esteem yourself, he got you. If he can bring in that device and make you think you are nothing, make you think, who are you? Who am I? If he gets you, you are nothing. He got you. But if he comes and talks into your ears with his device, you tell him, no, I'm so handsome. I'm so beautiful. Oh, I am. I look into the mirror and say, wow, what is that? That is me. Reflection. I'm saying this to tell you that that is the scheme of the enemy, the device of the enemy, to deceive people. If you are this, do this. No, I don't need to. So he saw tears. I just feel that there is somebody here, you are struggling with low self-esteem. There is somebody here, you are really struggling with low self-esteem. See, listen to the word of God to you. That is not you. That low self-esteem is the devil trying to mess up. You are highly esteemed by God. Drop that low esteem thing. You are. If you need to talk, let's talk after this church service. But in the name of the Lord Jesus, that hand of the enemy is broken over your life. Jesus' name. Let's deal with the device of discouragement. The device of discouragement. That is the work of the enemy. Discouragement. That the devil will come and use things that are going around to cause you to be discouraged is the work of the enemy. What is discouragement? It is disappointment, lack of enthusiasm, lack of confidence. That is discouragement, causing someone to lack enthusiasm, confidence. That is it. But you see, you don't allow that. I said, the scripture says, we are not of the world. What is the scripture? We are in the world, but not of the world. So, as we are in the world, we will go through stuff. We have emotions. We will have some feelings. Sometimes we will feel discouraged. But we don't have to allow it to eat us up. But you are here on earth. You will feel it. You are a human being. God is entrapped in this flesh. And this flesh has desires. But you see, we are allowed or instructed to fight those feelings with the word of God in our spirit. Let's read some scriptures. Psalm 27, verse 13. He says that I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Yeah. I would have fainted. With all that is happening around me, I would have fainted. But the psalmist said, no, I have belief. I have belief. I have chosen to believe. I ignore the feelings of discouragement. Yes, I feel discouraged. But hey, you won't take over me. I feel discouraged. I've been discouraged before. I have story upon stories. I have time I'll share with you. I go emotional when I say those stories. I have contemplated suicide before. Me. I was so discouraged. One day in Ghana, I don't know where I was going. I left the house in the evening, not knowing where to go. And I walked through a madman. In Ghana, you see those guys. So I walked past by a madman. And the Lord said to me, turn back. I turned back. And the Lord said, have you seen this madman? And that madman was laughing and happy. He said, have you seen him? He don't know where he will sleep. He don't know what to eat, but he's very happy. Why are you like that, Kobe? If that madman can be happy and still talk on the street, not knowing where he's going to get the food, why are you like that? Get back home and be happy. I turned back from wherever I was going, went straight home. Because I was so discouraged. And the enemy was coming in slowly. Coming in slowly. Nobody knew about it. But the enemy was coming in slowly. Until I heard this voice. And one day he said to me, begin to look within. Stop looking without. Begin to look within. Stop looking without. That changed my life. That's why I'm standing here. Because I started looking within what he has placed in me than what was happening around me. Because what was happening around me was causing the discouragement. But when I began to look in, I saw light coming out. Let's go to reasons or causes of discouragement. One is life circumstances. And you know that life circumstances can cause discouragement. Whatever you're going through, look at the news, whatever is happening can make you very discouraged. Number two is discouraging God. You know, people are discouraging God. I was discouraging God because if God, you called me, why this? You know, we have the question. And then my answer to that is that, why not this? We want the testimonies, but we don't want the testings. I have a story to tell because of what I've gone through. I tell the stories and people are lifted up. But I was sticking to the word of God when the stories was being unfolded. The process is not easy, but the end of it is a blessing. Even the process is a blessing if you want to see it that way. Because without the process, you can't get the end results. Yeah. A gold needs to be burned hard before it becomes a real gold.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't be discouraged. Don't accept that feelings of discouragement. Don't be discouraged in God. Hear what the Lamentation chapter 2, verse 3, 24, 22 to 24 says. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. See, you are still alive. Do you know who is keeping you alive? It's God. You are not consumed by reason of his mercies. So stop saying and being discouraged in him. If God is here, why is this thing happening? The truth is that if God is not around, you've been consumed long time ago. That's how I see it. But the fact that I'm alive shows that he is faithful. He is faithful. So no matter what is happening to me, in all the tears, God, you are still faithful. I see your faithfulness every day. Your grace is abounding towards me all days. My family is blessed. I am blessed. I see by the Spirit. I hear by the I begin to talk this to myself. And we'll come back to that where the psalmist was talking to himself. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, seest my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is your portion. But when the enemy comes in with a device of discouragement, And he gets you. He's taking God as your portion. He's taking it from you. And when God as your portion is being taken away from you, there is nothing else to hope in. So that is the enemy. That is the enemy. But the Lord's mercies, by the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Oh, gee. Let's go to the second point I said, external influence. See, as when I talk about external influence, they can be with you and also outside. It can be in your own family. It can be your own friends. I had a friend. I felt the Lord taught me to go study theology. And this is a very close friend of mine. I discussed everything with him. And then I spoke with him. No, don't go. Don't do this. It's not of good. Don't do that. I said, is that what you're telling me? It's not of God. I said, okay. The Lord told me, block him for 3 months. Don't take his call. Don't answer anything. I did. This was external influence that wanted to push me away. Even the way he was speaking, I felt so discouraged going for it. After 3 months, I opened the lines again for him. And the first thing he said, I want to go to the Bible school. I want to do theology. I said, but you said I shouldn't go. You see, you just have to be careful people you give attention to. They might be your own friends. They might be your own friends, but be careful. Peter was the friend of Jesus. But by reason of care, he said, you are not going, we're going to fight for you. Jesus said, you devil, get out. You know, so be careful. I'm not saying your friends are. They are not. Be careful because they can cause you to be discouraged. External influence. You know, in Numbers, when they send the spies, see, there are 10 people, 10 came and said, oh, we can't take this land. They are giants. They eat people up. And I said, if they eat people up, do you think you will come back? They would have eaten you up. You know, you read the scriptures and you think, wow, they eat people up. But in chapter 13, verse 1, it says that, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to you, the children of Israel, which I am giving to you. You are not going to take it up. I am giving it to you. So my focus is on him giving it to me than my strength giving it to me. Why are you working for your, like you can do it by yourself? Then Caleb came. Caleb, Joshua and Caleb, you know them. And they stole the people. I'll read the scripture again. The way you're looking at my face, as if it's not in the Bible. I'm joking, sorry. Oh, my goodness. It makes the word of God come alive, yeah? Verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people and said to Moses, let us go up at once and possess and take that possession, for we are well able. Yeah. Yeah. I love that. So Caleb was not allowing external talks to push him out of what God has said. What is happening around church? If we give ear and attention to them, there will not be tomorrow. I hardly give attention to the news going on. That is my own personal thing. I go to BBC, they have what they call 30 seconds or 30 minutes or something. Yeah. That is, I get the headlines, yeah, and I'm done. Yeah. That is enough for me. When I hear the headlines, why do I do that? For me to help me to pray. But I don't go details of what they are saying. Because if I give myself to wait, it might affect my faith. Yeah. This is personal. I'm not saying don't do that. This is my own personal thing. I have a friend. She's always on the news. And then she can't sleep. I said, why can't you sleep? Oh, I'm confused. I don't know if things are going to be all right. Listen, I said, you are causing it. As a man thinks, so is he. And you can't think anything until you focus on something. Wow. What you are focusing on is going to dominate your mind. And what is dominating your mind will rule your life. Wow. So I allow the word of God to dominate my life and my mind than the situations in town. So my speech is different. External influence. Let's go to past and current failures. You know, your past or your current failure can make you what? Discouraged. But the truth is that you are not a disappointment. You are not the failure.
Good.
You can learn from that, but you are not it.
Yeah.
And I said, your success is not my failure. Yeah. Your success can be a learning curve for me. Because I have my own lane to go, to move, to walk on. So don't let that past whatever hit you hard. You are not. No believer in this life can fail. That's the truth. No believer in Christ can fail. If you say you are a failure, you chose it. Nobody gave it to you. Don't look at whatever is happening and say you are a failure. No, you are not. Wow, I'm not a failure. I am a victor in Christ. Stand tall in him. Talk very bold. This is funny, but one time my younger brother needed a job. And I needed to hold him to go to the job place. And I went into the office. I sat down, he sat down. And I started talking. And the guy said, who needs the job here? I said to him, the way you are talking, you're talking with the confidence and you know, like, I can even give you the job now. I'm saying this to say this. My brother was so, like, timid, you know. I said, Christ in you. Don't go to the church and shout and, you know, make the noise and all the thing. And when you go to the workplace, you are muted as if you don't have anything to bring on the table. No! I bring the wisdom of God on the desk and therefore become relevant, not in church, beyond the building.
Amen.
When I talk about church, I'm talking the building now. Relevant in this, on the street. I heard a testimony of one man of God. He entered into a plane. He walked. And then there was one guy that was seated, unbeliever, called him and said, what do you carry? I was having the headache. The headache left me when you went past by me. The guy said, that is God healing you. Now, I'm saying this because, see, we read them in the scriptures. I want to experience it. That when I walk in town, people must see something.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but that is what I'm,
yeah.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
I walk in town and I say, God, what can I do? I'm the light here, of course. I need to talk to people. But what can I do without the people, me talking to them? One time, one demon saw Jesus coming from afar. He said, Jesus, 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 have you come to kill? Hey, have you come to do what? Have you come to, come again? Torment, thank you. Have you come to torment us before our time? Jesus never said anything. They sighted him. I'm believing God, when any sickness or demon sight me, they must also run. Oh, I'll get there. I'm saying it like that. You hear the news. Because I'm desperate for it. If Jesus is in me and I'm joined with him, we have one spirit. It must happen. I just have to be conscious of it. Okay, let's do very quick in overcoming these devices or device of discouragement. One, have a word mentality. Give yourself to the word of God. I like that picture. Give yourself to the word of God. The word of God shouldn't be when I have time. We make time to study the word. We make time for the word. We make an appointment for the word of God. There was one lady that wanted the counseling. I gave him the counseling and I prayed for her. I said, take the word of God, go read it. She came back and I called her and said, how is the study of the word going? No, I am busy. I'll go to work very early. I come back and I'm tired. So I don't study the Bible. I have not studied the Bible. I'm not. I said, you go to the doctor and the doctor prescribe a medicine to you or for you. And the doctor, you go for a checkup and the doctor asks you, hey, did you take the medicine? No, I was busy. I couldn't take the medicine. I have to go to job. When I come back, I'm tired. And I said, that is the same thing you are doing. God has prescribed for you what will give you life.
Amen.
You are busy complaining. You put your work first. I love work. Work is very good. We are commanded to work. But you see, if you go to work and you are busy for your work and you can't study the scriptures and pray, you are setting a trap before you. And as it's a matter of time, you will stand in the trap. and you will entangle yourself. I said, if you can't make time for the word of God and for prayer, and you think your work is so there for you, God can't help you. Not that he don't want to help you. He can't help you. Jesus went to his hometown and he couldn't heal the sick. Why? Not that he couldn't. Not that he can't do it. But the circumstance around prevented. He can't. They've blocked it. Why am I saying this? When we have word mentality and we give ourselves to the word of God, no matter the circumstance, no matter the external forces, we are not discouraged because God's word is our priority. We see the word and we leave the word. So go for the word. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 23, he says, My son, give attention to my word. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from you, from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to you. The word of God is life to you. Amen. How well are you studying the scriptures? Is it one of those things? The scripture says, give attention to the word because they are life to you. When I read the scriptures, somebody said, oh, because you are a pastor, that's why you read the scriptures. Or because you are whatever. I said, I started reading the scriptures before I thought the Lord was calling me into ministry. I make time for the word. So when I go to the office, I was working, I was working in a place in Denmark. Anytime I enter into the workplace, the manager says, hey, do you know, anytime you enter here, something changes in the atmosphere. And that gave me the chance to preach to the manager. Why? Because when you give your attention to the word of God, you are timely and seasonal. The words you speak matters, even at your workplace. When you give your attention to the word of God. See, we are tossed to and fro as a church, body of Christ, because we don't give attention to the word of God. We don't. It's one of those things. If I have time, I do it. If I don't have time, it's okay. I'm not saying this to be legal, whatever. No, it's a relationship. It's a relationship. I make time for the word. I feel like staying on this for a while. But I hope we got it. Rest and refresh. You know, rest is very important, that even God made it a law in the Old Testament. So rest can help you in discouragement. Just rest. Go for a rest. And that is one thing, I don't know. Dina always tell me, do you have to? Even in my rest, I'm working. But it depends on how you see rest. But you find the time that you think this is rest. I'm resting, getting refreshed, and coming back again, dealing with the devil. And after being rest, what do? You fight back. You fight the enemy. And I said, don't fight alone. Together. Fight together, don't fight alone. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but the two can stand back to back and conquer. A threefold cord is not easily broken. Don't fight your battles alone. Gather people in the church, somebody that is like-minded like you, and fight this device of discouragement. Don't say, when I say I'm discouraged, people will say, oh, who? No, call people. I am discouraged. Please, can you help me? Let's fight together. Together. Psalm 42, verse 5. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why are you disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will praise him, my Savior, my God. The psalmist is talking to himself. And Psalm 103, he says, this is that. Oh, I will praise the Lord, oh, my soul, and forget not his benefit. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. You are commanding your soul, your mind, your emotion to come in line with your spirit. Discouragement come, and you talk to your mind because discouragement is as a result of your mind accepting what is happening. But when your spirit is alive through the study of the scriptures, you command discouragement go, and you talk to yourself, hey, mind, come alive. Oh, my soul, come alive. And you see it coming in place. Let's pray. Father, we just give you thanks. We thank you for your word. We thank you because your word is taking root in us. In the name of the Lord Jesus. We are all that you say we are. We have all that you say we have. And we are blessing lives. Anybody, oh God, with this device attacking, oh God, him or her, devil, in Jesus' name, I command you off that person. In Jesus' name. Thank you, oh God, because we have your spirit. We are joined together with your spirit. We are encouraged in you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen, Jesus.